I just got stuck in a bogey train.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Bogey Train Podcast. I'm your host, Nick, and we got Jangs here as almost always, but not always.
Lucy's finally leaving.
Gentlemen. What is up?
Not a whole lot.
It's playoff time, baby.
Attempting to record a play. Oh, yeah, yeah. Super hyped for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Either it's never had less juice or I've just never cared less. And I think can't figure out which it is.
I think it's a mixture of both. But before we get into the golf, I know this was mentioned on a podcast, an episode a few months back. I got a little Waterloo Sparkling Peach with me for this episode.
Was that an episode you were
attendance
for?
I don't remember.
Because if it was the one with just me and Noah, then that was not a couple months ago.
I know. That was a couple years ago. It was probably a month ago.
Whenever it was. Time is a flat circle.
But anyway, someone mentioned Waterloo. I might have been on the podcast. I might not have been on the podcast, but just got a fresh cut for the podcast today, too.
Dude, I need a cut so bad. So went bad.
In. So kind of the sign that you're starting to get a little bit older is you can tell that your hairline is starting to go a little bit backwards. And so you go into the haircut place and you say, I'm going to go with a one on the sides instead of a two, just to hypothetically test out what it would look like if my hair was a little bit shorter for when I start losing it. So it's a nice little trial run on what I could look like 20 years from now.
I wish I couldn't relate to that. I don't know if it's hairline necessarily or just a few spots where it's not as thick as it used to be. So it's an uphill battle. I would
low-key be fine just kind of going bald though. Like I mean I wouldn't hate it.
I don't know. I think you've got some nice hair.
I got some nice hair, but like I wouldn't hate going with like the Ben Crane. Was it Stuart Sink that had the hat tan line on his bald head?
That's tough. You should like, if you go bald, you just gotta go visor so that it's not like the tan line, it's just like the tan stripe.
Blind my playing partners every time that I play.
So last time I got a haircut, I think it was the day before your wedding.
Last time I got a haircut was also like a couple days before my wedding. So, and it was very long.
I don't know. I'm thinking about doing something different.
There you go. Faux hawk.
Maybe a little
mullet.
I'm considering it. Do you need to talk me off the ledge?
If I could, I would.
What do you mean by that? Like as in the person sitting behind you or?
No, like if I could just have a nice looking mullet, I would do it. And if I wasn't a teacher, because that would kind of get a little sus.
Because, you know, obviously I'm not getting any younger. I feel like the older you get, the more questionable something like that would be. I already have a little bit of hockey flow going in the back just because of how long it has been. So I don't know. We're floating the idea.
I'm gonna raise a possibly unpopular opinion. I'm not really sure. But I think there is nothing. I don't think there's a better hairstyle for a golfer than like a little bit of flow. Like a mullet, actually a pretty solid hairstyle for a golfer because you got that little flow coming out of the back of the cap, like Cam Smith.
Exactly. Okay, Cam Smith is not a little bit of a mullet. I would say like Max Homa is a little bit of a mullet.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Cam Smith is like a mullet. Sydney waterfall, basically. I am at the same time trying to sign into.
Breaking news, I did just get permission from the voice behind me. And I was told I should grow a mullet. So
yes,
I think that's a sign. Both of us. I think that's a sign.
Yes.
Team mullet next year. Stay two man, wherever it is. We can match too.
The matching outfits is maybe a step too far.
Well, we'll go like mirrored matching outfits. So you'll go like white shirt, blue shorts, and I'll go blue shirt, white shorts. And then the second day we just both just go black on black.
So are you going to talk me off the ledge? Or are you going to shove me off the ledge? Am I going to come up to Watertown this weekend with some tight sides?
Am I throwing you off the ledge towards mulletdom?
So it's like I'm standing over the edge. If I jump, then it's going somewhere I've never gone before.
I'm going to push you and tell you to do a barrel roll.
Oh, geez. I don't know. We're thinking about it. Thinking about it. This is sort of related. Are you an electric shaver kind of guy? Are you a cartridge razor kind of guy? Are you a safety razor kind of guy? I'm also at an inflection point in my life when it comes to shaving.
I'm a mix. So I'm an electric razor kind of guy when it comes to like trimming up the beard. But like when I go for the neck, I'll start with the electric and just kind of cut it down. And then it's a cartridge to clean it up.
All right.
Like I can't take everything off the face because I've got a little bit of a bulge right underneath my chin. So like it looks like I have three chins if I go clean shaven. So I really have to I have to keep the beard, so I don't really shave my face anymore. But okay. Oh.
So that's strategic.
It is strategic. Yeah. It's not that I look good doing it. It's that if I get rid of the beard, I look worse.
No.
I mean, I was told by my sister last year I went with the Movember. I went mustache for November. And I was told by my sister, never do that again.
No, don't listen to that.
Because your face it's not the right shape. So.
Don't listen.
Interesting. All right. How's that lighting?
It looks like you're staring straight into Venus.
It's called 12 hours of sand. This again, good audio content.
Yeah. Great.
We
got a loaded episode today, Nick. Honestly, a lot of golf going on.
Now, this first segment might take me a long time because I have a lot to get off my chest here.
We're gonna do a shorter first segment. We're gonna kind of talk about our golf games. You know, I feel like we haven't talked a lot about our golf games lately.
That's fair.
Did we talk last episode about the pro-am at all, or was that not really?
I think it was touched on tangentially.
I want to give a shout out. I got to give one shout out from the pro-am, and that shout out goes to our pro the first day, Marcus Plunkett. That guy was a G.
He's playing good. He's playing good golf this year on the Dakotas Tour.
He's playing great golf. I mean, sometimes the scary thing with the pro-am is you might get a pro that's like taking it way too. I mean, I shouldn't say way too serious. It is their job. It is their livelihood, but like is taking it very serious, as they would, because it is a tournament that they're trying to win money. But then sometimes you get a pro who is a little bit more chill, like still playing good golf, but like kind of really enjoying what's going on. And that was our boy Plunkett the first day. I mean, just broing down, cracking jokes. Him and I had a couple conversations about Wesley Bryan. So, I mean, great guy. Probably one of my favorite pros we've played with in the pro.
Yeah, his vibe was pretty incredible. Now I will say it is easy to have good vibes when you're birdieing every hole.
And he hit the ball an absolute country mile. Like,
yeah.
That first tee shot he just hit it. And I was like, holy shit.
All right. There's the E.
There's the E 10 minutes in.
Did you see the final leaderboard from Pro Am Jam?
I did not. The
Country Club of Sioux Falls.
I did not.
Jacob Otta got second.
Oh.
Yeah. Smooth little 15 grand.
That is smooth. Who got first?
Ah, shoot. Who won? I don't remember.
Looking up the leaderboard right now.
I don't remember, honestly.
Looking up the leaderboard right now. Dakota's Tour. Oh, they have a current event going on. Oh, our last event, our boy Plunky got third again.
That guy's a top five machine.
That guy is outstanding.
And low key, just phenomenal business decision by him to rack up whatever amount of money it is in South Dakota, where the tax situation is a little nicer.
A little bit lax, yeah.
So because there's no state income tax, has to pay federal on that. So
four round tournament, finished third, three shots out of the lead, 23 under for the tournament.
Where was that one? Was that in North Dakota?
I can't even see where the course is. Varden Golf Club in Minot.
Yeah, they had a couple up in North. They're kind of at the North Dakota swing, the famed North Dakota swing. Everyone is always waiting for of the golf schedule.
Craig Ronnie, Eugene, Oregon, 15 under for the dub over three rounds. Otta second. Will Grevelos, T3, three back. Tied with our boy, Marcus Plunkett.
I know, I'm
that
telling you.
That guy is a top, but I want to look at his, we're going to go down the leaderboard on Marcus Plunkett's finishes on tour this year. So T3. And
by tour, we mean Dakota's Tour, of course.
So he has one miscut. His worst finish is at Cattail.
Other than missing a cut.
He's gone T3, first, second, T5, miscut, seventh, T6, T4, T3, and third.
All for a total of $19,000. Just kidding. I'm sure it's more than that.
He's made $38,000 this year so far. Not that we're just airing out his business, but.
That's public information.
I mean, it is probably it's on the website. Do you know who has actually made more than $38,000 this year? I believe.
Jack
Lundin.
Also, where's good old Mitch Davis falling on the money list at this point in the season?
He just missed the cut in the last event.
Did you hear about the controversy with that guy?
I sent you the link. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
He has not made any money since the situation.
Since the cheating scandal.
The situation, yeah. I don't know about that.
So this has been a good segment on our golf games so far.
Yeah, I want to look at Jack quick and just see what his money list situation. He's made $50,000 this year on the Dakota's Tour.
That is crazy, actually.
23 grand at Mach, 10 grand at Cattail. Both of those were wins. And then got second at Hillcrest for 12 grand. So, I mean, solid.
Maybe we find our niche. This is a Dakota's Tour podcast.
Wouldn't that be
something? I think that would garner a pretty
following. Follow the tour around, play in every single pro-am, and then just do a podcast on it.
Yeah, and then, you know, once we're as big as some of the other golf podcasts, we can sponsor our buddy Plunkett when he's on Korn Ferry Tour and PGA Tour.
Yeah. Plunkett currently in the lead for the bonus pool. Jack Lundin close behind in second. Will Grevelos in third. So, I mean,
Did you say Plunkett does have a win?
He does have a win. Yep.
Okay.
So yeah, anyway, back to our golf games. since we got there, I played my last round of men's league this past week. Game is in form.
Wow. In form. 33
last round of men's league.
Sheesh.
Ended up missing. So I'm in two different leagues. I play in the 3 o'clock and the 5 o'clock league. I missed the shootout in both leagues by a combined 5 points.
I don't know how the point system works. So I don't know. I don't have any context there.
You get 27 points. There's 27 points available per week. There's 11 weeks. So,
oh my God.
So yeah, over the course of, 99 holes, it's 3 points per hole. We came up in one league 2 points short and the other league 3 points short.
Yeah, that's tough.
So yeah, it's and last week, so we're playing our match. We had to take 16 and a half to make it into the shootout. And we go off first four holes. We're up 10 to 2. And we don't get it done from there. I mean, I was two under through two, which really helped, except one of those was a half. Guy I was playing rolled in a 20 footer for birdie on the first hole to put some pressure on my 6 footer. But
so does that mean you are throwing at least a G on our team this weekend in the Calcutta?
I'm throwing zero money because I'm a teacher and I'm poor.
Bet on yourself, dog. You're not poor.
Or comparable to
who?
Marcus Plunkett. I might be poor. I mean, especially if he's been hitting up every single Nino.
That is true. Well, he was having a good week up there.
He was having a great week. Your game, I mean, I guess I'll wrap up my game. Handicap is actually, it's been back and forth. It skyrocketed up at the start of the year. I think I got up to like a four, close to a five. I'm chilling at a 2.4 right now.
So you could sign up for mid-am qualifiers.
I could, yeah. My goal that I kind of set for myself is by the first day of school, 2025,
Project 2025.
I will be back to scratch. So.
Back to scratch. All right. That's good. Chasing scratch.
Yeah. Chasing scratch. I mean, we should rebrand our podcast and call it Chasing Scratch. I don't think there's anything that's called that.
If you want to make the content for it.
But you can make some Chasing Scratch content. You just have to shoot a lot of 80s.
Yeah, my tournament round from Sunday made my handicap worse. So,
well, that's typically what happens in tournament rounds.
Still shooting under the course rating, though, in competition.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, you played in the U.S. Mid-Am qual, correct? Not USAM, U.S. Mid-Am.
U.S. Mid-Amateur Qualifier.
And that was at Sunday. That was at Minnehaha, not the country club,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Minnehaha.
Minnehaha Country Club.
Host of the senior tour event, right? Or is that
the country club Sioux Falls? Sanford International. All the grandstands were being built. A few greens around the course, you could hear a lot of Spanish speaking throughout the round and a lot of construction noises. So you really had to tune that out. It was a mental, really a mental battle out there, 16, 17, and 18. So I don't really know how to characterize my game right now. I feel like it was pretty good, like especially – I felt pretty good about it after the pro-am. But then I basically went like 2 weeks without playing at all. I played one round of 18 and it was a scramble between that and the practice round for the mid-am qualifier, so got a little bit rusty in there. Played the practice round, whatever, felt okay. Got off to a little bit of a tough start. In the tournament, I was 4 over through 5 after an early double and a couple bad bogeys. So I was definitely behind the 8 ball. Figured I had to go pretty crazy the rest of the round to even have any sort of chance of being an alternate. Later turned out I had no chance at all. I didn't realize 4 under was going to be even a spot for an alternate, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's...
You know, I thought if I could get it into red numbers or even somehow sneak it to 2 under, that maybe that would have a chance for an alternate or even like a playoff, depending on how things went. Because I checked the scores when I was on the 12th hole. I was 3 over at the time, and it looked like 3 under was qualifying and 2 under maybe had a chance. So, you know, I just thought maybe if I could somehow get into red numbers, who knows? Eagle 12. Ended up birdieing 14 and 15, which got me back to even par, going into a par 5. So I was feeling like I had a ton of momentum. Thought I'd birdie that one and get to 1 under, but was not able to birdie it after hitting my drive in the fairway bunker. Made a tough bogey on 17, so I'll finish with a 1 over 72. Not too disappointed with it. You know, would have liked to have a better start, so I was a little bit more in the mix. But is what it is. After taking basically 3 weeks off and then shooting 72 at a somewhat tough track, I don't know. It's like there's a lot of birdies out there, but the greens are really old school, very slopey. So if you get in the wrong positions, you can be in a tough spot. But Steve Stricker tends to make it look pretty easy down there in September every year.
Yes, he does. I did. So you mentioned you thought that maybe 2 under would sneak in to an alternate or a playoff, or I did notice, wasn't there 3 people tied at 4 under and there was only 2 people in the playoff for the last spot?
I think all 3 of them went out.
Did all 3 of them go out?
Well, I actually don't know for sure.
Cause I know I tried to watch the live stream and it only looked like there were 2 of them there.
There was a live stream of it.
Yeah. They put a live stream.
See, and there may have been just the 2 of them. I don't know. Like maybe the other guy left or something. I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he left thinking that 4 under was like going to automatically qualify and then was like.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense if you come all the way there to. I mean, maybe he didn't travel a long way, but you sign up for the tournament, you play there, you shoot 67. I feel like you hang around to see how that would shake out. But shout out Charlie Jacobson, fellow Watertown guy. I texted with him a little bit after the round. He said they drove him out to hole 16 for the playoff, which is...
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like it was right along the creek, and I knew 18 was not along the creek.
So, which makes sense of when it said in the Golf Genius that the guy eagled his playoff hole to win, because I'm thinking, man, if they went to hole 1 or hole 18 for the playoff, like, an eagle is pretty crazy. That's either, like, a hole out from, like, 90 yards or, like, 140. But no, they drove them out to 16, probably anticipating they would need multiple playoff holes, but
yeah, possibly.
So to answer your question, I don't know if there were 2 or 3 in the playoff.
It looks like I just pulled it up on, yeah, I pulled it up on the live stream. There's only 2 of them there.
It's bold strategy for that guy to not go to the playoff.
Yeah. One of them just didn't go to the playoff. So, yeah, that's a very bold strategy. Not sure it paid off. One guy I did not know still was playing competitive golf, I saw in the field, was a guy we played against in high school from Yankton, a lefty, Jace Guthmiller.
Saw he I've been chatting with him recently. He's been in the store a number of times. So, I've just
been chatting with everyone.
Chat with a lot of people. You, when you're down in Sioux Falls and around golf a lot, you see a lot of people who kind of in these types of events. So
yeah,
apparently I'm just friends with all of them now. And well, they know that I'm just another guy.
Podcast.
I'm just another guy who's gonna fill out the field but not actually win. So we'll love those kind of guys.
You're like the You're the Dylan Fratelli of the South Dakota Tour.
Exactly. Yeah, other than that, haven't played a whole lot lately.
Haven't played a whole lot. Haven't paid a whole lot of attention to golf, but you happen to have a huge beef of the week.
Okay. All right, I've been waiting for this moment. So what if you were to go, if you were feeling Mexican, maybe burrito, maybe bowl, maybe nachos with chips on the side, what sort of fast casual establishment would you go to?
I would personally go to a little place known as Qdoba.
Assuming all of the options are available to you.
I would go to a little place probably known as Qdoba.
Okay. I agree with you there. So basically there's like three main ones that I've been to that I put in this category. Pancheros, Qdoba, Chipotle.
Yep.
Pretty much in that order.
Yep.
Yeah. I could interchange Pancheros or Qdoba any day. They're both fantastic in their own way. Pancheros is more of a burrito specialty. Their tortillas are incredible. I go to Qdoba, more of a three cheese nachos, chips on the side kind of guy. If I go to Chipotle, well, the thing is, I simply don't go to Chipotle. So
if you go to Chipotle, you get the diarrhea. That's kind of what I hear.
So we get done with our round on Sunday because did you see that Mike was playing?
I did. Mike and Caleb.
Actually, different Caleb Johnson.
Caleb Johnson? What?
Yes, yes. Not him.
That's too confusing.
I think that guy lives in Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. There is a Caleb Johnson in Mitchell. You're right.
But Mike stayed over, and he only teed off like 10 minutes before me. So he waited around after he got done, and well, I guess he had to because I drove him to the course. So, and afterwards, you know, he wanted to go get some food. And this was just a diabolical play by him, by the way. So he says we should go get some food. First thing that pops to my mind is like a Qdoba or a Pancheros. I'm like, that sounds incredible. And then he's like, well, do you guys have a Chipotle? And I was like, yes, we do. I was like, I'm not a huge fan, but and so basically we're driving up Kiwanis. I said, all right, so then we're going to get to this light. You pick left or right, and because that's going to determine which one we go to. So he says right. So we end up going to Chipotle.
It's like he just had a feeling that if I go right here, Chipotle is
going to be right. And after we turn right, he ends up saying, yeah, I've been to this Chipotle a couple times. So 5 minutes after saying, do you guys have a Chipotle here? Like,
he's like, yeah, I frequent this Chipotle.
Yeah. He's been here twice. And that came out when we're on 41st. We're going to Chipotle. And I'm like, is it the same left like for Chick-fil-A? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, as if you know. And he's like, oh yeah, I've been here twice. So like, okay. So he and Rachel was with at the time too. And we both love Pancheros, Qdoba, never go to Chipotle, never been big fans of it. So the whole car ride on the way there, he's like, Chipotle is so good. They have better ingredients. Like Chipotle is so much better than and he's just like absolutely pooping on Qdoba, saying it's just terrible, awful. Anyway, so we go to Chipotle. We walk around to the door. There's a garbage by the door, literally a mountain of garbage, like all over the ground, like because the thing is full, overflowing, just garbage. Like that's the first thing we're greeted with is just a massive pile of garbage.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Like, okay, you know, they should probably empty that out. Doesn't look super professional. Anyway, we get in, we're in line. We order our food or whatever. Like, guy at the register wasn't super nice, but whatever. So we get our food. And so then I go to wash my hands in the bathroom. So I just come from playing golf. So you go, you know, wash your hands or whatever. Rachel goes to the bathroom to do the same thing. And she happened to notice there was no toilet paper in the bathroom. So far we've got pile of garbage outside, no toilet paper in the bathroom, complete and utter mess inside, like food, like everywhere, all over the tables, all over the floor. There's a complete mess, out of napkins, out of silverware. So there's like the main fountain for the drink. And then to the side, there's like a couple like specialty drinks, like lemonades or whatever, mm-hmm. like in the clear little fountains. Those are empty. So the drinks are gone. The napkins are gone. The silverware is gone. Food all over the tables, food all over the floors. There's a huge seating like bench that has like a couple tables in front of it. Couldn't be used because the bench was broken. So we end up getting our food. We go to sit outside. All the tables outside are filthy. So like everything about this place was just but
were the ingredients good?
Sure. I didn't taste anything better than a Chipotle or a keto. But so anyway, my beef is just with Chipotle and the hardcore Chipotle fans that will, to their death, claim that it's so much better than Qdoba for X, Y, and Z. And I just want to say, no, it's not. It's a horrible establishment. Qdoba and Pancheros clear it by astronomical margins.
See, I would.
And I will, of my own accord, probably never go back to a Chipotle.
I would never have beef with Qdoba because I always get the grilled adobo chicken. So,
see, I'm a brisket guy.
Oh, so
I almost always get the brisket at Qdoba.
Yeah, I'm a grilled adobo chicken. If they have the shrimp, I'll go with the surf and turf.
You gotten the street corn?
Oh yes,
it's fire,
fire, straight fire.
Yeah.
So my beef of the week. If you're wrapped up,
pretty much, except on the way home after eating that night, Mike, he sent a long message to Qdoba on their website. And I have yet to hear from him if they've responded to him. But it was something along the lines of, as a valued customer, I was embarrassed for Chipotle. He's like, I convinced two of my friends who are, in quotes, Qdoba fanatics.
He sent this to Qdoba or Chipotle?
Sorry, Chipotle.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I probably said Qdoba. So anyway, he sends this long message. I'm a longtime valued customer. I was embarrassed for Chipotle. I convinced two of my friends who are Qdoba, quote, fanatics, to go to Chipotle. And he said, frankly, this is unacceptable. He said, they said they'd never go to a Chipotle again. He said, I'm not asking for free food, but I think this goes up to management or whatever. And I wish I had a copy of this message that he sent because it was classic. But
should have tweeted out.
So Sioux Falls Chipotle, huge L. Just go down the street a little bit farther. You'll hit either Pancheros in the former Osteds or you'll hit Qdoba right across the street. So
huge dubs.
Yes.
Qdubba. My beef of the week, and it's not, I don't know if it's so much a beef as it's a talking point because a lot of people had beef. I don't know how familiar you are with a former X account known as the Country Club Snob.
I'm familiar, this was all over
my timeline this weekend.
I saw a lot about it. I don't know the details of what led to this account's demise or whatever. I just know that his tweets would come up and they would infuriate me. And I couldn't tell if it was parody or if this guy was that much of a prick. So anyway, the floor is yours.
Yeah, that's every single time, like there were a couple that came up where it's like, you know, this is kind of funny. And there were a couple that I read into, like there was one, he was making fun of a private club for the tee time system they use, 'cause it was unfair to the members that want to play more. And I was like, you know, that makes sense. But then, yeah, apparently there's just, I never ended up giving the account a follow. It was just, it would kind of pop up on my recommended and I'd read it and I'd laugh, or I'd, like you said, it's hard to determine if it was parody or not half the time. But apparently this past week, good old Country Club Snob took it one step too far. And the assistant pro at the golf club that he plays at, basically doxed him, gave out his information. It was like, yeah, this guy is Country Club Snob. Name dropped him, and so people on X were name dropping him, leading him to shut down his account, which is it's just outlandish where that went. I mean,
what a, can we go look at his tweets even if we tried, or is that account totally deactivated?
Account's deleted. It does not exist anymore.
Because for any listeners who are just completely unaware, I wish we could bring up a couple like examples of what we're talking about with these tweets. But I don't know if I have a way of accessing those.
Let's see if there's a Golf Digest article. Let's see if it has any of...
There's a Golf Digest article about Country Club Snob.
Yeah. Well, so I'll skim the article here. If you're scrolling golf Twitter this past Sunday looking for takes on the FedEx St. Jude, blah, 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 you notice something completely different. The demise of Country Club Snob, a parody account that had 30,000, a following of over 30,000 for his takes on what he described as the mid-tier country club life. If you're still scratching your head, we're going to break it down on the podcast. So I might have to listen to a podcast here. I'm getting a Discord call. So I would love to find some tweets on Country Club Snob. That might be my job here during this podcast. But his Twitter account name was also Eldrick Hose. I don't know if you ever saw that. Like, it was Country Club Snob, and then it was at Eldrick Hose. Yeah.
Spelled how?
Eldrick _ Hoes.
Okay. Maybe he's passionate about gardening. Maybe he sees himself as the Tiger Woods of gardening.
He might be. Oh, man. I just wish I could even find some of these tweets, because there were some good ones.
Didn't it turn out he was like a former like pro player or something, or was that not?
I don't know if he was a former pro player. But he was a pretty solid golfer at a country club. Like, you know, he kind of spent this time poking fun at country club people, but he himself was a mid tier, like played at a mid tier country club.
I mean, his takes were outrageous. That's why I couldn't figure out if this was parody or not, or if he was serious.
Oh, here we go. We got a 2-part TikTok explaining the Country Club Snob saga, but it's 5 minutes long. And there's no sound to it. Why is there no sound?
There's got to be sound to it.
Oh, wait, it's muted. That's why. Yeah, we'll post this. We might repost this on our social media here. If you want to
if it's on Instagram, that would be great.
I'm sure we can get it to Instagram. But yeah, I'm gonna have to watch this here once we're done, and fill in the situation later. But yeah, rest in peace, Country Club Snob. Lived a great life over however long your account lived until you deleted it. So,
hate to see it. Sweaty Memphis, did you pay attention to any of this?
No.
The FedEx St. Jude.
Did Lucas Glover's ass crack sweat through again?
I don't think Lucas Glover was in the field.
Ooh, might want to check up on him. Don't know what happened with him and his wife there then.
Becky Matsuyama wins after having a, I think he went into the final round with like a 5-shot lead and blew his entire lead. When he had a few holes left, he was 1 shot down. So I think he ended up winning by 2, though. So I think he had 3 late birdies after.
Yeah, he won by 2. He only had 2 late birdies. But Xander, who finished T2, didn't do it. Victor bogeyed the 17th, so that kind of gave him the 2 that's shot.
That's why. Okay. So your boy Crown Vic is playing well again.
Yeah, had the lead momentarily there.
That's just crazy. Like when
a few birdies.
When that does happen, like if you're that player, like the whole time it's like, man, I'm so far behind, and then all of a sudden you just make a, you know, either some sort of run or the person in front of you kind of falls apart a little bit or both, and then all of a sudden you're in the lead when that guy was in the lead for so long. It's like, that'd be a little bit shocking.
Yeah. You know, Xander was up there too. Final round 63, 7 under. Never technically took the lead. I don't believe, but you know, a nice backdoor top 2, 2nd in the FedEx Cup, kind of just a guaranteed 2nd in the FedEx Cup, I think, unless Hideki wins or, you know, Hideki or anyone that's towards the top in the FedEx Cup wins next week. But he's not going to make it to 1, that's for sure. I think the 1 spot is probably locked up for the
I don't know if it is, actually. I think if Xander wins, he could, because aren't these tournaments worth like 2,500 points if you win?
I guess I don't know how many points.
Because I think Xander's only like 1,000 or 2,000 points behind.
Well, let's look here. Results. FedEx Cup points. Did not give the tour website did not give him any FedEx Cup points after the St. Jude yet. So I guess I don't know.
What are you talking about, dog?
Like on the website where it has the results and it says, you know, how many points they got that week. It has it nothing down for how many points Hideki got last week. So
okay, because so Xander's 1,500 points behind.
Yep.
I'm almost certain he can't, it's possible to make that up in a playoff event.
That's FedEx Cup playoffs points system.
Ten PGA Tour wins for Hideki now.
He has 10 PGA Tour wins?
Yep.
Okay, so winner of each playoff event receives 2,000 points. Second place gets 1,200. Third place, 760. Fifth place, 540. Okay.
Yeah, so Scotty is not locked in to number 1. Going into East Lake.
If he Can I like not scroll here? Or do they only pay out points to the top 16? Like, come on. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, you have to imagine Scotty's probably not going to finish much worse than fourth or fifth. So it would have to basically be a win for Xander. So I guess, yes, he does still have a chance, but
I'm interested to see this Castle Pines course actually. But yeah, I also probably won't watch much of it either.
A little tidbit. I was just looking at the FedEx Cup standings. Something that might shock you, because I feel like he's kind of just been talked about as he's played like absolute dog water this year, is Wyndham Clark is sixth in the FedEx Cup right now.
Yeah, I mean, he won a signature event and had a couple other really high finishes in other signature events. So couple
seconds.
I mean, that'll happen.
Seventh last week at the St. Jude also kind of helped him out. But yeah, did you, I mean, I'm assuming you played in the qualifiers. You probably didn't see much of the,
I watched a highlights recap, after, I mean, I don't know. I don't have much to say about it. I mean, we could, oh wow. Tyrrell Hatton is sitting at 100th in the FedEx Cup. It's kind of funny. Oof. You know, it's sad when Tyrrell Hatton, like if you finish behind Tyrrell Hatton in the FedEx Cup this year,
they have Tyrrell Hatton listed on the FedEx Cup.
You probably have to reevaluate some things. I mean, I'm talking directly at Ricky Fowler here.
Matt Kuchar.
Joel Damon. Come on, dude. I thought this was a bounce back year for Joel. When was the last time Hatton played in a PGA Tour event? Like winter?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, do they they probably don't get FedEx Cup points for the majors because they're not PGA Tour members.
You know what? That might be, it says, okay, yeah. So he got points for, he had a T14 in Hawaii, and a T13 in Hawaii, T9 at the Masters, T63 at the PGA, and T26 at the US Open. And that, those finishes are good enough for more FedEx Cup points than Ricky Fowler.
That's, it's tough. Things you hate to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Things you hate to see.
One little interesting tidbit too. You know, there's this guy who snuck into the top 50. He was kind of a bubble guy. This Nick Dunlap kid, you may have heard of him. You know, he won this year as an amateur. I think he became either the first player in tour history or the first in a while to win as an amateur and as a pro on the PGA Tour in the same season. But had he turned pro before the American Express, he would be like 15th in the FedEx Cup right now.
You didn't get any points for that?
No, because he was an amateur. He was not a. So yeah, he would be top 20 in the FedEx Cup. Instead, he is living on the bubble in 48th. I mean, needs an outstanding week this week to make it in.
The amateurs are good these days. Did you see, this is sort of a tangent. How much of the U.S. amateur did you catch?
I sadly didn't get to watch any of it. And I wanted to watch a lot because of, it was at Hazeltine, but
should we, Should we table that till after PGA Tour talk, or should we?
Yeah, we'll table that for a second.
Okay.
The guy right ahead of Nick Dunlap too. I saw a little drama with him, Max Grazerman. So back a couple years ago, the Korn Ferry Tour changed their policies because Taylor Montgomery is on the Korn Ferry Tour. He qualified for the U.S. Open that year. He played the U.S. Open, got no Korn Ferry Tour points for it, and then ended up missing like the top 25 or the top 20 or whatever. Or no, he ended up missing first by that amount of points, which would have given him like a lot of starts, pretty much full status on the tour for the next year. So they changed their rules so that if you're a Korn Ferry Tour member and you play in the U.S. Open and score points in the U.S. Open, those count as Korn Ferry Tour points as well. Kind of the Taylor Montgomery rule. I don't exactly know how, but Max Grazerman is considered a Korn Ferry Tour member this year. And he played in the U.S. Open, and so the points he scored in the U.S. Open counted towards Korn Ferry Tour points. It gave him enough points to finish in the top 156 for the playoffs. So, like, he can't actually play in the playoffs because he played no Korn Ferry Tour events this year, but he qualified for the Korn Ferry Tour playoffs, technically. So, a weird little thing with Max Grazerman there that I read earlier.
It was odd. It's interesting that they changed it, though, because I was actually talking about that with the second pro, I think it was, that we played with at the Pro-Am, how basically that fact that sometimes players would have to choose between playing a Korn Ferry event or like a U.S. Open that they qualified for because of how important the points are.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good that they changed that. Because that would be pretty asinine if you qualified for the U.S. Open, but, you know,
you just said, nah, I'm going to play the Korn Ferry event.
Yeah, because you're trying to secure your livelihood for the next year.
Do we need to do a little down the leaderboard action? Or?
So I was thinking we could like take a little checkpoint after the first PGA Tour event. We're at the top 50 right now. If we each wanted to pick a few players who are either inside and that who we feel their stock has risen quite a bit, or outside and their stock has fallen quite a bit. Now we can't get too crazy here. We'd have to be a little bit picky, but I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm going to take the first pick. I'm just going to go straight for a guy who I didn't necessarily have a lot of confidence in coming and playing on the PGA Tour this year after he gained status. Bob McIntyre.
That's a good one.
Did not have a lot of faith in him. I mean, it really helped out that he got that win at the Genesis in Scotland, but currently 12th in the FedEx Cup. Moved up five spots after last week.
Double win season. He's truly a national open specialist. He will win the U.S. Open someday.
Finished T7 last week at St. Jude as well. So, you know, not a bad season for Bob McIntyre. Big shot Bob.
He's starting to be a real player.
Yeah, he's kind of becoming scary.
I think the two spots right behind McIntyre on the list are very interesting.
Yeah, one of them for sure. The one right behind.
Yeah, Akshay. I think, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast before, but I think if you talk to a lot of guys on tour that have played with him in decent round, he's still like 21, isn't he?
He is 22 right now.
Yeah, so they're like, dude, he is still just a kid. Just wait till he figures this out. The talent he has, like he could be a very, very good player. He could be world number one someday. I think a lot of players feel that way about the talent he has. So good to see him sort of realizing some of the potential that he has.
Yeah.
And again, Tony Finau right behind him in the 14th spot. I feel like that's very quiet.
Yeah, very quiet season.
Very quiet top 15 FedEx Cup right now. Like, I'm trying to think, like, he was in the mix at the U.S. Open. Like, where else have we seen Tony in contention? I mean, I could literally just click on his name and look at his results if I really...
Yeah, I'm looking at Akshay right now, just because, you know, we mentioned he's 22. He's been a pro since 2019. So he's been a pro for 5 years. Played 68 events on tour, and he's got 2 tour wins. One this year, a runner-up this year, a few top tens this year. So Akshay, I mean, still very, very young. A lot of time for Akshay to do something with the rest of his career.
You know what's really interesting is, so I'm going through Tony's season, and I'm just like looking at the finishes. There's a T6 at Farmers, a T2 at the Houston Open, which was not a very good field. There's a T8 at the Memorial, which is a solid week. T3 at the US Open is obviously great. T5 at Travelers. Like, those 3 weeks moved him up a lot. And then a 12th at the 3M, 16th, and that's last week. So it's not like a season that would knock your socks off so far. Yeah,
he really murdered the lower level tournaments.
But I do, I mean, he's the mule skinner. But I think there's so many FedEx Cup points concentrated right at the top between Xander and Scotty that, like, you just go down to the 14, 15 spot, and you're seeing seasons that, like, mediocre is not a great word, because that's a very solid season, but it's like really, that's a top 15.
I mean, yeah, you have
season on tour this year, like, with
a zero win season being top 15 right now is weird. You don't often see that, but I mean, you look at the same thing. You got Ludvig in seventh, who also does not have a win this season. So, but like his season, you've got a second in a major, you've got a second at the Pebble Beach, you've got a couple top fives in elevated events, and eighth at the Players. Like, but he's seventh. Kind of the same thing we're talking about with Tony. No wins, a lot of solid finishes, but top 10 on the FedEx Cup list.
I have one other that's inside the top 50 that I think is a rising stock. Well, gosh, there's a couple I could name, but I'm just going to pick out this guy, Austin Eckroat.
Ah, where is he at?
He is sitting at 38 right now. I don't have a ton to say about him other than I think he's got a lot of potential. I think there could be a bright future for Austin Eckroat.
Yeah. Another big riser last week. I mean, we mentioned Crown Vic earlier in the episode. Jumped up 40 spots in the FedEx Cup with that T2 last week. So he was sitting at 57th going into last week, was kind of maybe questionable on even making it to the Tour Championship. Has one good event, and he's looking pretty solidly locked in for East Lake. But yeah, anyone else kind of inside the top 50 right now? I mean, Keegan kind of seems like a shock. Feels like he had a down year. Barely made it in.
Like, Cam Davis literally had a win, and he's in 49th. Like, did he have a win and then a miscut every other tournament? Or
I'm going to look at Keegan's season first and see what we had here. I mean, two runners up, I guess, really helps Keegan's case. T2 at the Charles Schwab. That's one. And then T2 at the Sony Open. So, I mean, 11th at the Pebble Beach, 18th at the PGA. So, I mean, a top 20 and major helps. But, yeah, very – I mean, especially after last year where had potential for a maybe a captain's pick going to 50th for Keegan.
Captain Keeg.
A little bit of a down year. Well, look at Cam Davis here. I mean, his win is his only top 10 he had. T12 at the Masters for Cam Davis. But, yeah, not really. T18 at the Arnold Palmer. But no other real results that stick out. So that is how you win a tournament and still get barely above Keegan Bradley on the FedEx Cup list.
I got a falling stock, and that's Tom Kim.
Yeah.
Sitting at 51.
That's a good one.
He had a very, very brutal finish to finish just outside the bubble. An absolute gift to probably Keegan Bradley. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm very close to hopping off of the Thomas the Train
here. I think after seeing some of his antics, you know, I've been a conductor for the Tom Kim train. After seeing some of his antics lately, a lot of people pointed out the slamming of the putter on the green this weekend.
Bad look. Very bad look.
Not a good look for young Tom Kim.
He had to have felt that. How do you not feel that you just damage the green there and then just walk away? That's tough.
I don't know.
And like he's very young still. He's won how many times on tour now? Two or three?
Yeah.
Three,
I think.
Which is incredible. I mean, it's hard to argue against the start he's had to his PGA Tour career, but I just don't quite get it. I don't quite see it. Like, he doesn't hit it very far. I don't know if there's any like particular part of his game that's that good. I mean, he drives it straight. I guess he's a really accurate driver, but I mean, otherwise, I don't know. I don't quite get it. I don't think he's quite as attention thirsty as he was maybe say last year, but I don't know. I'm not buying it right now.
Okay, 1 second here. I want to compare. You tell me who you think is having the better career so far. It's going to be a blind list of stats here. Ready? So player A, 68 events played, 2 PGA Tour wins, 0 international wins, 39 for 68 on cuts made, 2 runners up, 6 top fives, 9 top tens, has made $7.8 million for the career. Okay?
Okay.
Player B, 67 events played, 3 PGA Tour wins, 7 international wins, 54 of 67 cuts made, 2 runners up, 1/3, 8 top five, 14 top tens, has made $15 million on the money list.
I feel like player B is Tom Kim.
Player B is indeed Tom Kim.
I mean, I feel like that's definitely better, unless like the player A, one of the wins is like a massive win or something.
Do you have a guess on who player A is? I'll say we talked about him earlier in the show.
With 2 wins. Oh, it's probably Nick Dunlap.
It's not Nick Dunlap. It is Akshay Bhatia.
Oh, geez.
So, I mean, we're saying Akshay is a rising stock. Statistically, I mean, Tom Kim is murdering Akshay.
See what you're saying? Point taken, but point rejected, because this is based off of vibes.
Straight vibes.
And I don't need any of those numbers. Some would call it the eye test.
I want to throw Nick Dunlap on here and see what we're looking at with Nick Dunlap.
Yeah, I should have known. There was no chance Nick Dunlap has played
67. Yeah,
that's on me. I apologize for that one.
He's played 24. Two wins, 13 cuts made out of 24. Three top fives, four top tens. He's made 2.7 mil. So Tom Kim, falling star for us. I want to kind of keep mind to people who actually made it to the playoffs. Otherwise, I would definitely talk about Ricky. But we can definitely talk about Ricky here in a little bit. One is, and I mean, there's kind of some understanding to this one. Jordan Spieth, terrible season. Apparently, major wrist injury is going to have surgery now that the season's done.
I'm over it. I'm over it. Spieth is not winning another major. I'm just over it.
What about Rosie? How do you feel about Rosie?
Honestly, I think he has a great season for Rosie.
Yeah, 55th is a great season for Rosie.
Okay, maybe great is a stretch. It was probably a lackluster season that was boosted massively by his great performance at the Open. So that's probably was probably a dumb comment by me, but I don't know. I'm still somewhat optimistic about Justin Rose going forward. I still think he has a little bit of good golf left in the tank.
T6 at the PGA this year for Rosie. T11 at the Pebble Beach. But miscut at the Arnold Palmer, miscut at the Players, miscut at the Masters, miscut at the Memorial, miscut at the U.S. Open, miscut at the Scottish Open. And that brutal miscut at the Wyndham.
Yeah, that chip that should have gone in.
But yeah, I think Rosie will bounce back. He's solid.
I wanted him to win the Open. I thought that would have been a great like sort of capper to his career. Not that there wouldn't be any more good golf out in front of him, but he just feels like one of those guys that he should probably have a second major.
I think Rosie's a perfect case study here for all the people who argued last year, and we can kind of throw Minwoo into that same category. Everyone last year who was like, well, with this new designated event system, you know, you're basically just gifting all of these guys free trips to the FedEx Cup, like to Eastlake. Because they're going to be playing all these higher point events. They're going to have so many more points. I mean, Rosie played 19 events. He finished 55th. He's below guys like Patrick Rogers and Mav McNeely and, Max Grazerman, Eric Cole, who did not play all of the elevated events or designated events this year.
Absolute Florida mini tour legend.
Eric Cole played 28 tour events this year.
That guy is...
He loves golf.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy is like borderline sociopathic.
So Eric Cole and Ben Griffin tied for the most events on tour played this year with 28.
So many.
S.H. Kim played 26.
I mean, that's one way to try to get yourself in the playoffs is just
finished 113th on the FedEx Cup with 26 events.
That is crazy, actually. That is remarkable.
Adam Schenck played 25, finished 80th. Adam Svensson played 25, finished 76th. Lee Hodges, Peter Malnati. Tom Hoagie played 24. He's 28th right now. Same with Davis Thompson. And Akshay played 24 as well. Boy West only played 12 this playing season. Anybody else? I mean, do we talk about the elephant in the room called Ricky Fowler here?
Yes, why not?
Disappointing season from Rick. I'm going to come out and say it.
To say the least, man, that is an understatement.
Ricky is 35 years old. He officially has one less win than Tom Kim worldwide.
Okay, geez, chill.
He officially has zero majors still. He has less majors than Brian Harman.
Yikes. Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark. He's tied with you and I for the same amount of majors. And we technically have a better percentage because we haven't ever lost a major because we've never played in one.
I don't know. I did play in the NB Cup Tournament of Champions twice.
Who won the Open this year again?
That was X.
Oh, Xander. He has two less majors than Xander Schauffele. Maybe we can throw that one out there after this year.
Xander has the same amount of majors as Scotty.
He is. Wow. He has less than Hideki. He has less than, Patrick Reed. Where do we go from here?
Really know. I'm perfectly fine with his decision to just hang it up after the Open, not play anymore, like resign to the fact that he's playing like garbage this year and that he's not going to find it. I don't know if you saw his comments the week of the Open. Did you happen to see those at all during the practice rounds?
I did not.
So I think someone just like asked him about his money game that he had. It was like him and JT versus like Homa and Woodland or something. And Ricky was just like, oh yeah, I do not have it right now. He's like, I didn't help my partner at all. I was just there for emotional support, basically. Saying that the week of a major is crazy. Like usually these guys are at least trying to delude themselves enough to where they'll say to other people that, well, you know, my game is close. I just need to see a few putts go in or, you know, whatever it is. But for a player to just straight up say, I do not have it. Like it's not there right now is pretty demoralizing. You'd have to think. And then that, and then plus the timing of his daughter was kind of due to be born right around the time of like when he'd be playing in these tournaments to try to squeak out some FedEx Cup points just to try to get into the playoffs to, I mean, he just probably decided it just wasn't worth it. He might as well be at home with the family. And I can't fault him for that. But I do wish he would have played a lot better this year. If I calculate his two par in PGA Tour events, I'm not sure he'd be under par for the year.
I really don't think so. I mean, you got a couple 13 unders that cancel each other out, but the 14 over at the Memorial is brutal.
Yeah, the 82 at Memorial is tough.
I don't remember what's all the qualification for the designated events. He's not.
I mean, you'd have to think he's going to get a good chunk of sponsors exemptions next year, but I don't think he's in for any of the majors next year at this point.
Yeah, because he's again fallen out of the top 50 in the world ranking. He obviously didn't make the playoffs, so he's going to have to sponsor exemption his way into signature events. Major finishes this year, nothing that would have got him an automatic.
There was.
30th at the Masters, couple, doesn't get it done. 63rd.
I think a couple missed cuts and then a couple like made the cut on the number but had a horrible finish.
So we're kind of back to where we were 2 years ago where we need Ricky to play well to make it into Augusta again.
It's just a huge, huge step backwards after how good last season was. Like I'm pulling up the results from last year and it's just so disheartening, honestly. Just like seeing the scores.
It really, yeah. I mean, you mentioned the 82. We can't also forget the 79 in the first round of the Open.
And yet still made the cut somehow.
Still made the cut with that 69 the second day. 74 and the 76 of the Players. it's not great.
He made seven times more last year. Seven times more money.
I mean, just some guys that he finished lower than on the FedEx Cup this year. David Skins, Rico Hoey.
That's tough.
JJ Spahn, Chandler Phillips, Sam Stevens, Sammy Valimaki, Chris Goddard. I mean, he might as well have lost to Dylan Fratelli.
Let's see. Any other PGA Tour? I'm surprised we talked about it this long, honestly.
Yeah. I mean,
here's a question. If Scottie Scheffler does not win the FedEx Cup this year, which I don't think he will, I think Xander will, is it time to consider scrapping the format? Because it would be what, like the third year now when Scottie Scheffler was pretty hands down the best player on the PGA Tour for the season, and it all just coming down to one tournament at a golf course that I'm not sure he plays that particularly well.
I could definitely see an argument for changing the format.
I mean, the only thing that would counter that this year is how good Xander has played of recent, like to get his FedEx Cup points as close to Scotty as he has. But like, if Xander didn't have his like second major, and then, you know, like if Scotty still has like a 3,000 point lead in the FedEx Cup, but then just starts the tournament with a 2-shot lead, like that feels crazy.
Yeah. I say here's my proposal for the format. We just abolish the FedEx Cup points.
Electoral College.
Oh. That too. And we make every event Stableford, and then you just get Stableford points for every event, and that's your points for the year.
Disagree. Because I like stroke play. Wouldn't mind more match play, though.
I would like to see more match play on tour.
They killed the WGC match play, unfortunately.
I mean, they killed the WGC in general, so.
That's true. At least they don't have to go to China anymore in November.
Shenzhen was awesome, though.
Watching that tournament in the middle of the night.
Oh, dude, that was like my childhood, was staying up until midnight just to watch Shenzhen. I would also what was I going to say? I mean, I would like to see if the PGA wants to rebrand, I would be fine if the PGA rebranded to a match play major. Or the US Open can go back to it. US Open.
I don't think the US Open was ever match play. I think it was the PGA.
I think the US Open, was the US Open never match play?
I don't think it was.
US Open could go match play. I mean, make it similar to the USAM. You have
no
200 people in the field.
No, US Open is stroke play.
54 holes of stroke play, sets the top 32.
Disagree. If anything, the PGA.
I'd rather do that at the PGA, honestly.
Speaking of match play, United States Amateur happened at Hazeltine National over last weekend. Jose Luis. Is that his name?
Jose Maria. Jose Luis.
Jose Luis Ballester, I think was his name. Jose Luis. Spaniard wins the USAM. Just a crazy athletic swing. He dressed like Sergio.
I was going to say, I was waiting
the final day. Mentioned. With the red and yellow. So many people were asking if he's a McDonald's employee. But good for him. It was a lot of fun. It was fun to watch. I liked watching the highlights. I will say, though, I was very excited for it to be at Hazeltine just because I've played there. It's fairly close to where we live. They absolutely, those guys absolutely murdered Chaska Town course.
Did they?
Yes. And, but that said, and as much as I hate to say this, I thought Hazeltine looked pretty bad on TV.
See, I didn't get to watch it and I was disappointed just cause it's nice to have a big major course. I mean, it's hosted majors, hosting the USAM, hosted a Ryder Cup, so close to us. But if it didn't look good on TV, that's not a good sign.
So I mean, the idea behind the course, they wanted to build a course that was going to host huge championships. Clearly they have done that, and part of that is that the property is absolutely enormous, so there is so much room for, you know, build outs, whether it's hospitality or corporate or whatever, grandstands. And for the USAM, they don't really do that. And so the entire property just looked really empty on TV because, like, there's all that space there that's for that sort of thing and it not being used. I don't know. I just thought it looked strange. Like, if you watch highlights from the Ryder Cup, if you watch highlights from the 2009 PGA, like, I don't know, it looks better in that sort of atmosphere because that's what it was made for. But with the USAM there and there not being any sort of real build out there, it just kind of looked strange and contrived, and I don't know that the holes have enough character to stand out on their own.
Yeah, see, to kind of go with that point, I think I saw a picture or video, and it was taken from hole 8 green.
Yeah. Like, hole 8 is one of the primary examples I'm thinking of.
And it just, yeah, I looked at it, and I'm like, I couldn't even tell what hole it was at first with nothing there.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Kind of weird seeing that. Because I've kind of been like a Hazeltine stan, because a lot of people, you know, like to dunk on Hazeltine, the golf architecture nerds. But I don't know. I kind of get it now, and it probably just because it was close to me personally is why I wanted to defend it so hard, and the fact that I've played it. But I don't know. Like, I feel like if you go to I'll go to one of my favorite courses in the world, Marion. Like, I feel like Marion without the build outs would still look incredible because it's just a great golf course. And like a lot of these other courses probably would as well. So,
I mean, you have to kind of compare it to something that would be a similar, like something like a Bethpage, like both parkland style, tree lined fairway. Like, Marion kind of goes in and out of some deep forest.
Not really. Gosh, Marion's awesome. 2030, the U.S. 2030. Open. Coming back.
I am just looking at the
state of professional golf by then.
The USAM and the stroke play portion. So, finished in 12th, little German Tiger Christensen. Wonder how he got his name. Jose Luis Ballester finished T32. In the stroke play. So he had a little bit of a run during the match play.
Gordon Sargent lost in the first round. Match play. Luke Clanton lost in the second round.
See, that's
a couple of guys who you would have thought were were favorites to go all the way.
I for sure would have thought Luke Lanton, the way, I mean, guy's been competing in tour events.
Yeah, he's had an unbelievable summer for sure.
And like, I'm not talking about just competing in tour, but like he's been towards the top of the leaderboard in a couple tour events.
He would have more FedEx Cup points than Ricky, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Jose Luis beat Tiger Christensen 3-1 in the second round. Took down Christian Brand, Bobby Massa, Luis Massivu. Yeah. So what's next? Does Hazeltine have anything on the schedule now for a while? Or
Ryder
they're
Cup.
Scheduled for another Ryder Cup, yeah.
2029. I will be in attendance.
I will hope to be in attendance.
Either that or I'll be on the team, one of the two.
I'll be in attendance. I will not be on the team.
Who knows what sort of USGA qualifiers I will do going forward, but in 2030, I got to give it a run at Marion.
2030 is the year. Project 2030.
That's what we can just call our show the Project 2025 show now for you getting back to scratch. Do you think that name has already been taken?
I think so.
Oh.
I also think we might ostracize our viewer base if we name it that. I don't know if the Belgian will listen to us anymore.
I heard Hong Kong was actually in support. Big fans of the Heritage Foundation over in Hong Kong.
Big fan.
Anyway, is that the point where we realize it's gone too far? Or
yeah, it might be. I'm running out of things to talk about. We got the Compesco Open this weekend. So the last major of the year.
Major. Shoot, I forgot to call. See if we can play with Bird. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I don't know. I'm kind of over golf right now. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, it is a little weird.
My quarterback has torn meniscus.
Your wide receiver has a DUI charge.
And a busted ankle.
Your running back as old as dirt.
Not as old as our starting safety.
Who's also white.
What we got, Stephon Gilmore. Former Patriot.
So, yeah, that's saying something with the state of the Patriots right now that he's a former Patriot. I mean, everyone in the NFL should just be former Patriots, and the Patriots should be disbanded.
Yeah, the Vikings in BC is a former Patriot.
Yep.
Speaking of former Patriots, I think the Vikings, after McCarthy's injury, should go after Tom Brady.
12.
Yeah, why not?
Possibly. And they could go after JR too, go after Jamarcus Russell.
Possibility.
Maybe try and trade for like Carson Wentz.
I was thinking you know, there's a team that just drafted the quarterback of the future. I mean, they have, you know, a pretty solid veteran that might be open for trade. I was thinking the Vikings could go after Kirk Cousins.
I think he would really fit well in the scheme.
Yeah. I saw a really good, edit on a jersey swap for him, too.
You know, funnily enough, I think I must have been living in an alternate reality, but I went to a Patriots-Vikings game, and Kirk Cousins was there. in a Vikings jersey.
Did he torch the Patriots?
No, the Patriots torched themselves that game. Justin Jefferson actually torched the Patriots that game.
He tends to do that.
And the refs also torched us.
But that was not a catch.
That was not 100% a catch.
That was not a catch.
100% a catch.
Didn't complete the process.
100% a catch. Had it outstretched across the goal line, maintained going to the ground.
That was like the best game of Mac Jones' career.
Honestly. 28 for 39, 382 and 2. Like,
do you have those stats in front of you, or did you just pull that out of?
I just pulled it up.
Okay. Because I was about to seek help for you.
Oh my gosh. Nelson Aguilar scored a touchdown that game. Yuck.
You don't know who Nelson Aguilar is? Have you seen that video?
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you $100 if you can name three athletes. It was like Aaron Judge, and then the girl's like Nelson Aguilar.
Dude, Dalvin Cook went 22 for 42 that game.
Dude, he's washed.
JJ 9 for 139 and 1. And he scored the first touchdown of the game. I swear I thought he like torched us early in the second half for a touchdown.
No, he just had like those deep balls that he caught like through major contact.
Oh, you know, scratch the whole touchdown pass thing. The Kenny Nwangwu touchdown return, three holdings on that play that I saw. None of them called.
So then they weren't holding.
Oh, they very blatantly were.
Your seats weren't that good. There's no way you saw three holdings.
They were good enough. What were you, like 20 rows up?
Were your seats better for that game or for the T-Swift concert?
Probably that game, honestly. I mean, seats for the T-Swift concert weren't bad, but... Gosh, they posted a video on the X, the Jaguars fans did, and they said Mac Jones is back. And he throws this nice little freaking post route right over the top of the safety for a touchdown in preseason. It's like, good God. That's what happens when you finally have a receiver that can catch the ball.
Yeah, well, if we play with Bird, we're going to have to ask him what he thinks of the quarterback competition down in Jacksonville.
I honestly think that Mac Jones could be QB1 in Jacksonville.
Sam Darnold.
Is he even QB2? He is QB2.
Sam Darnold going to lead us to where we need to go.
5-11.
I think we start Nick Mullins.
Oh, you mean Nick Mullins? Yeah.
Correct.
Ooh, Christian Kirk questionable right now. Not good for the Jags.
All right. Well, before this,
this becomes quick.
Fantasy football hour. Anything else before next time?
Nope.
I either go to bed or stay up doing nonsense.
I'm
moving to Watertown.
So, really?
Yeah.
Good. Finally have people to play golf with again. Thought about having
I refuse to join men's league.
Thought about having to become a member at
yes, because then I thought you were going to say the club, so then we can get on the wait list for the member guests.
I don't really want to spend $2,000 to be a member at that goat track.
Wow. Harsh. Harsh words. I don't know. I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch a video about the country club snob.
All right, I'm going to go watch a video about Marion Golf Club.
Good idea. Stay on the train.
I just got stuck in a bogey train.
Something like that.